The U.S. youth national team is currently engaged in the CONCACAF Under 20 Championship. And if you've been following this tournament so far, it has been an absolute blast to watch. Now, things are about to get a lot spicier, as so far the U.S. has competed in the group stage and the round of 16. But as they progress through the tournament, they're going to face tougher and tougher competition. And progress is something they absolutely need to do, as this tournament is really important for qualification for both the Olympics and the U20 World Cup. In order to qualify for the U20 World Cup, the U.S. needs to reach at least the semifinal, and in order to qualify for the Olympics, the U.S. needs to reach at least the final. These are two things that are very important, as these tournaments offer a big opportunity for these young players to experience World Cups, experience competition at the highest level of international play in the youth division, and whenever it comes to the Olympics, it's a big opportunity to put soccer on display for casual fans in the United States. It's something that we've missed out on for the past two Olympics, and it's something that we desperately want to see from this group. So about this group, let's talk about a few players who have really stood out, at least in my opinion, from this group, who are interesting players that I'm going to be following long after this tournament is over. But before we get into that, I think it's important to point out that this isn't exactly the best U20 players that the U.S. has to offer. There are certain players that either would have been a part of this group but missed out because of injury, somebody like Obed Vargas, for instance. There are guys that maybe didn't get releases for their clubs because they're a little bit too involved with what they're doing. Maybe somebody like Kevin Paredes or Jonathan Gomez, for instance. And then there's guys that have graduated to the senior team and aren't really considered youth players anymore. That would be somebody like Ricardo Pepi. So as we talk about these U20 players, keep in mind that these aren't the best of the best U20 players. These are sort of the best of the rest, kind of depending on their club situation, where they're playing, how involved they are, that kind of thing. That being said, there's still some tremendous talent in this group. We're going to get into all that and more on this episode of the Yank Report. What's up? My name is Sam. This is the Yank Report, the show where we talk about the U.S. men's national team and the U.S. youth national team. And if you're into that, hit the subscribe button, stick around, hit the like button, comment in the comment section, be nice to each other in the comment section. Let's get into the video. The first player I want to talk about from the U20 group is a guy that I think everybody is talking about right now. He's a player that's emerged as the star of this youth national team for just so many reasons. And his name is Diego Luna. He is the 18-year-old Californian native who is currently a player for Real Salt Lake. He just arrived at Real Salt Lake after being purchased for around $250,000 from El Paso Locomotive of USL. While he was in El Paso Locomotive over at USL, his coach said that he was the best player in the league, even though he was 17, 18 years old. And if you watch some of the highlights from his days with that club, you can see why. And that is translated directly with the U.S. youth national team in this CONCACAF U20 tournament. Diego is absolutely electric on the ball. He has the type of skill set on the ball that we just haven't seen from American players, I don't know, ever. His close control, his confidence, and his creativity on the ball make you think of like the great South American magicians. He is a special player. And I think that that doesn't just stop on the field. I think if you look at his look, his tattoos, how he's kind of a heavy set dude, how he has kind of just this look in his eyes, like anything could happen in any moment. It's easy to see why so many people are gravitating to this guy. Let's take a moment to hear a word from today's sponsor. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports development, including this year's basketball championship finals, the NHL Hockey Conference Finals, Major League Baseball, and the latest fighting news, and even next season's early NFL futures. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE to get the bonus and get into the action. Bet online, where the game starts. And whenever we look at what he's actually done in this competition, he's been deployed in a couple different positions for this U20 team, whether it is in the midfield as an 8, whether it was out on the wing, or whether it was kind of as a false 9. But I think he's found his home sort of with this team as more of an 8. And whenever he's on the field, he is constantly looking to get on the ball. He's constantly looking to combine. And once he gets on the ball, I think that's whenever just the excitement happens. Because what makes this kid special is what he does whenever the ball is at his feet. And what he does is all over the place. Usually whenever I see a youth player, and we'll get to this a little bit later on with some of the other guys, you kind of have an idea of what they're going to do once they get on the ball. Some of the guys look for big crosses. Some of the guys look to combine. Some of the guys like look to get to the end line and put it across. They look to take players on one-on-one. Diego Luna does all of these things, and you never really know which one you're going to get out of him in any given moment. In any given sequence, he might combine a lot of these things. It's that variance that is so incredible at this level. It makes him such an exciting player and such an effective player. We've seen him combine really well in the midfield in some really tight and technical triangles. We've seen him do give and goes to create space. We've seen him look for big switches and big changes of play. We've seen him take players on just frequently in the midfield and then lay the ball off. But we've also seen him show a change of pace out of nowhere, beat a few players, take it to the end line, and put a cross back in. It's that variance of what he can do with the ball at his feet that makes him such an exciting and such a scary player on the ball. Aside from that, some of his technical flair is just really impressive. One of my favorite Diego Luna clips is this highlight from a USL game where he receives the ball in a box and just has his hip switch that can completely nullifies his defender and gives him an opportunity to shoot on goal. It's just one of the nastiest things I've seen, just shaking the defender without ever touching the ball. As far as like player comparisons, what everybody likes to do at this level, I think one of my favorites, and somebody in Twitter pointed this out to me, is comparing him to Catemaq Blanco, the Mexican star, who is a player a lot like Diego Luna, was kind of a heavyset guy, a guy that you a body type that you wouldn't associate with a professional athlete, but also had a ton of flair and a ton of swagger and loved taking players on and doing the unexpected with the ball at his feet. I actually met Catemaq Blanco once and took a picture with him at a hotel in Dallas. I remember I asked him, like, "Are you Blanco?" And he goes, "Ugh." And I said, "Can I take a picture?" And he goes, "Ugh." And that was my experience with Catemaq Blanco. Anyway, now his body style is the big thing that people see as the potential red flag from Diego. And it's worth pointing out, because the reality is we don't see a lot of soccer players, especially once you get to the highest level, that look like Diego. I mean, the reality is most players, especially today, especially in the day and age where your fitness statistics are monitored just all the time, and you're expected to press, and the amount of running and the amount of athleticism necessary to be a professional soccer player right now is just the highest that it's ever been. You're not seeing a lot of players that look like Diego. So there is question marks about that. But the guy is only 18 years old. He just arrived in MLS over at RSL. He's got one cap for RSL. And we could potentially, I mean, in the next few months, we could see some of those pounds shed off of him. And maybe a few months from now, we're looking at a totally different athlete. The only thing that we know for sure is that whenever the ball is at this kid's feet, you got to stop and watch. And there's not a lot of players in American soccer that have that capability. I know I, for one, cannot wait till he gets back to RSL to see what he can do in MLS. Can this translate to that level? Can he take what he's doing for this US U20 team and bring that to the MLS level, a league known for being a very physical and physically daunting league? Can that translate? I know I'm a Diego Luna fan. I know a lot of you are too, and I can't wait to see what he does next. Next player that I want to talk about is Caden Clark. And I think if you really didn't know much about this U20 team or many of the names on the list, I think you probably were aware of Caden Clark. He is the 19-year-old Minnesota native that is currently an RB Leipzig player that has been loaned back to Red Bull of New York over in MLS. Now, Caden Clark came out whenever he was 17 and had some really exciting moments, scored some big goals, some really technical goals that really set the world on fire, or at least the U.S. soccer world, had people thinking that he could be like the next Gio Reyna or something like that. Since then, since he got signed for RB Leipzig, he's had some injury issues. He's had some other things that have sort of kept him off the field. And his trajectory has sort of cooled a little bit. It hasn't been that straight to the moon type of thing that we were expecting maybe a season ago. However, whenever he's on the field, you still see the technical ability that I think really separated Caden Clark and got people so excited for him in the first place. He is one of the coolest and calmest players in possession, I think, for this U20 team. I think whenever the ball reaches his feet for this U20 team, he possesses this level of class and comfort that I think is different from all the other players on the field, aside from maybe Diego Luna at this point. And the decisions that he he makes with the ball at his feet are really nice. You've seen some assists that he's made. You've seen him take players on. You've seen him put in some really nice crosses and really nice shots. And whenever he's on the ball, I think he's a difference maker for this squad. Now the thing that I'm missing from Caden Clark, both for this U20 team and for whenever I watch him play for New York Red Bulls, is I don't see him looking to be the guy on the field. I see him really waiting for the game to sort of come to him. And while I guess that's okay in a sense, you know, whenever you see someone like Diego Luna on the field, for instance, he is constantly looking for the ball. He's constantly looking to impact the game. You don't get that from Caden Clark. And it's a shame because he also possesses these physical tools where he is absolutely relentless. He has a tremendous engine and he can impact the game that way. He can get after it. And I think especially playing in that RB Leipzig system, that Red Bull system, you are expected as a Red Bull player to just be all over the place all the time. Think of someone like Brendan Aaronson or Tyler Adams, but two players that have played in the Red Bull system. They are absolutely relentless players on the field, both on offense and especially on defense. And I don't really get that all the time from Caden Clark. I think he can deliver that. But I think whenever he's on the ball, you see the quality and class that he has and why he's sort of a level apart from a lot of these other players at the U20 level. Speaking of Brendan Aaronson, our next player is his younger brother, Paxton Aaronson. Paxton is the 18-year-old Philadelphia Union player from New Jersey. Coming into this season, a lot of people expected this to be really Paxton Aaronson's breakout year over for the Philadelphia Union. It hasn't exactly happened that way. He sort of struggled to get on the field. But whenever he plays, especially in this youth tournament, I think you see a lot of the class on the ball and the things, the tools that he has that people are really excited about. I think a lot of people compare him to Brendan Aaronson because Brendan is his older brother, but I don't really see them as similar type of players. Whereas Brendan Aaronson is this relentless engine player that just presses like an absolute banshee and looks to combine. I think Paxton Aaronson is more of like, I look at him more of like Jesus Ferreira almost. Like he's sort of that that withdrawn forward that looks to be a playmaker but can also score himself. And the thing that I think really sets Paxton Aaronson apart whenever I see him on the field is how quickly he's able to get a shot off. Whenever he's in the game, he has had a lot of attempts on goal in this tournament. He's had some goals, but he's also had a bunch of attempts, and I think that comes down to just his ability to shape his body, find space, and have a really nice touch and set himself up for a shot immediately. I think that's a thing that once you start moving up in leagues and moving up in competition, that ability to settle the ball in front of you and get a quick shot off is a thing that kind of separates players who can score at one level but maybe not necessarily score at the next. And I think Paxton Aaronson has that. Next up, let's talk about one of the more controversial players on the U20 youth national team, and that is Cade Cowell. Now, Cade Cowell is an 18-year-old from California who plays for the San Jose Earthquakes. Cade Cowell is one of the few players, he might be the only player on this team, I didn't check all of them, but he's one of the few players that actually has a senior U.S. national team cap. The reason why he was able to get that cap is because he's an elite athlete. I think he might be the only player on this team that is considered like an elite athlete. His size, his speed, his physicality, his burst is just a difference maker type thing. There's just, whenever he's on the field, you can tell that he's just different from everybody else in that regard. And that has allowed him to break in to MLS at a very young age and make an impact with the San Jose Earthquakes at a young age. Now, the issue with Cade Cowell at this point, I think, is that he tends to be sort of a one-trick pony. Once he gets on the ball, he's looking to take players on. He's looking to either get to the end line or cut in on his right foot and have a shot. There's not a lot of variance going on with him on the field. Now, whenever he's in transition, whenever he's in an open game and he's able to get out in space and really use that athleticism to run at defenders, he is a force. I mean, he's a tough player to handle at this U20 level. However, whenever he's playing against the low block, whenever the defense is a little bit more dug in and he's running up against, you know, 2-3 players that are between him and the goal, he tends to lose the ball a lot. And I think that comes down to that lack of variance in his play, where the defenders know whenever Cal gets the ball, he's going to be running at us and he's either going to take it to the byline or he's going to cut in and shoot it. There's not going to be a lot of other things that happen there. And when that happens, whenever a player loses the ball a lot, you end up facing a lot of counterattacks. It's not a very good thing. Possession retention is now a huge part of the modern game with so many teams looking to press and counterattack. So it ends up being a situation where maybe K-Cal contributes a couple of goal-scoring opportunities per game, but he gives up a few goal-scoring opportunities per game, and you have to question whether he's a net positive or a net negative for the squad. That being said, I think a player with his athleticism is someone that is always going to be a force to be reckoned with at any level of the game. And we've seen throughout this U20 tournament that he has been able to, just through sheer force, score goals, set up goals, and just really decimate oppositions who are trying to do everything they can to keep him from forcing his way through on that left flank. Now, Cade is still a very young player, and he's got a lot of opportunity to add things to his game. Now, he's not really a technical dribbler, and I don't think he'll ever really be like a technical player, but I think if he can change up his decision-making and just add some variance, just retain balls a little bit more, pick his spots a little bit better as to when to attack and when to kind of lay it off to somebody in a better position, I think his outcomes will improve tremendously. The last player I want to highlight is one of the few players on this roster, there's only a couple, that play their club soccer outside of MLS, and that is the 18-year-old midfielder Alejandro Alvarado Jr. He plays over in Portugal for Vizela, and he's the type of midfielder that I'm always tend to be like attracted to as a soccer fan. He is a deep-lying playmaker-style type of midfielder, and he is just so smooth on the ball. Now, this isn't a player that has gotten a ton of shine with this national team. He's kind of come in and out with a few other players. He's been rotated a lot, but whenever he's in the game, I always find myself finding these little moments that are just, they're so subtle, but you know, he's in a situation where he receives the ball and he's surrounded by some defenders and he's able to solve that problem. He's able to just really subtly find space where nobody else really was finding space, solve a possession issue, hit a big switch, just calmly get the ball downfield. Now, he had one really big highlight where he was able to hit a break, find, I believe it was Caden Clark, who hit a really nice pass, and then he laid it off for another player to score a goal. One of the prettiest goals of the tournament so far, and Alejandro Alvarado was right in the middle of all that. I really liked the decisions that he makes with his passes. I really like the way that he sort of is able to set the tempo. He's able to see passes that nobody else is seeing, and he plays a really nice ball over the top, man. And that's the type of player that I really like. Almost in that Gianluca Busio mold of a type of player. So he's been fun to watch. Now, it must be said that with all these players, a big part of the reason why that I've picked mostly attacking players for this is because the U.S. has dominated possession in all these games. They haven't really had to defend much, so we haven't really got to see the players who are more defensive had that opportunity to shine. Maybe as we go through the tournament, if the U.S. continues on and faces tougher and tougher competitions, we'll see the defensive side of the ball, and we'll see maybe some holes emerge in some of these players' games, and maybe we'll see maybe a player like Alejandro Alvarado just becomes a lot more important because the U.S. is up against a defense that is not allowing them to get the ball as forward as easily as some of the others have, and they'll need his intelligence in the midfield and his ability to solve problems and his ability to switch play and pick out passes that break lines. So far, that hasn't really been an issue because it's just pretty much been green lights all the way down the field. And that really brings us to the last point, which is I think the big thing that everybody cares about whenever looking at this U20 team is, are there any future national team players in this group? How are these guys going to project to the national team? Can they help us? And I think a big caveat needs to be said here that just needs to be said over and over again so everybody gets it. I think the national team is going to be way more difficult to get to than it was for the players a cycle ago. If you think about the first games where we really got to see Tyler Adams and Weston McKinney and Tim Weah and Brendan Aaronson, they were coming into a national team in which the cupboard was bare, where there weren't a lot of high-level players playing at the national team at that time. And because the U.S. had just missed out on the World Cup, a lot of the players that maybe could have stayed around, we sort of just moved on from. So there was a lot of space to come in, even for players that hadn't really proven themselves. Players like maybe Tim Weah, who was, I think, at PSG at the time and maybe got minutes here or there, but wasn't anything like an established professional whenever he made his national team debut. That type of thing is not going to be available for this generation of players. The current U20s are competing against guys that are beginning to hit their primes and have been playing professionally in Europe for like 4 or 5 years and are going to be with the national team for a long time. So while Tim Weah didn't really have much barrier to entry to get into the national team whenever he was still basically an academy player for PSG, like a first team academy kind of player, somebody like Diego Luna is going to have to beat out Yunus Musa and Luca De La Torre and Weston McKennie, players that are still very young in their careers and are playing at a very high level. So to projecting these players, even though they might be very good and have very good careers, it's going to be very difficult in the coming years for any of these guys to make the national team. And that's a good thing for the national team. It's a good thing for player development in this country and for the eventual outcomes in World Cups to have World Cup squads where very good players are not making the national team. But it is a reality that we have to face, and I'm not really banging my head against the wall for any of these guys to make the national team anytime soon. That being said, if you are picking out players who could potentially make the national team, I think the easy one to look for is Caden Clark. Caden Clark has already secured that move over to RB Leipzig, and despite kind of having his rough season, you still see the bones of a very good player in there, a very athletic and technical player that seems to understand the game at a high level. Caden Clark is probably not going to be in MLS for too much longer as his loan move is not really bearing much fruit for RB Leipzig. He's likely going to get an opportunity to head over to Europe sooner than later, which is going to give him a leg up in the competition, I think, in regards to the rest of his U20 teammates. But overall, I think across the board, I mean, this U20 tournament has been a ton of fun, and I think it's shown that the level of quality for the products that the U.S. soccer system is producing just continues to rise. Not just their technical ability, which you see on display across the board for these players, their technical level is that a lot higher than players that we saw even 4 years ago or 8 years ago at the youth level. But I think it's their tactical understanding. We haven't seen players play. I mean, this possession style is just really impressive, specifically at the youth level for a bunch of players that are just 18 years old. Now, all of them across the board are playing professionally in some form or fashion, but it's still, you know, comparing them to the U20 team just a generation ago, they're a level above just across the board in their understanding of positioning and their tactical awareness, their ability to play multiple positions, to switch in and out with each other. It's really fun to see. And it's not just something I see with them. I actually watched a lot of the MLS Next tournament this weekend that they were showing on YouTube, and some of the Generation Adidas tournament as well. And you can see across the board at the youth level that the U.S. is producing players that understand the game a lot more than you saw from youth players a few generations ago. It's not just like kick it long and like run hard that we might have associated with U.S. national teams in the past. It's a lot more technical and it's a lot more tactical. And that's something really exciting to see, because that's going to raise the level of not just the U.S. senior national team, but also MLS and USL and every level of American soccer across the board as these players get in to these leagues and start contributing. It's something really exciting, and it's something I think about whenever I watch this team. Whenever even guys that we haven't even talked about are doing really impressive things with the ball at their feet. So that's my take on the U20 tournament. Those are my players to watch. I'm really excited what you guys have to say about this. I have a feeling a lot of you have been following along with this. It's been a lot of fun to watch, and stars like Diego Luna have emerged. I cannot wait for Diego Luna to get back to RSL to see if he gets in, how he impacts that team. Is he going to be able to dominate games for RSL the way that he did for the U20? He's just such a fun player. It's almost like RSL has gotten like a DP signing. Hopefully the Real Salt Lake fans really embrace him and he becomes just a star in this league. He's got that star power, man. He's been so much fun to watch. But let me know what you think. How have you enjoyed watching the tournament? What players have stood out to you? What are your expectations for the rest of the tournament? Let me know in the comments section. If you would like to Yank Report in podcast form, you can download the Yank Report podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever else. Si puede hablar español, dígame un comentario en español. Guys, thank you so much for watching. Thank you for becoming a member. Being a member really helps me out because it supports the channel directly. If you would like to become a member, you can click the little join button and do so. There's different levels of membership that offer different perks. Shout out to my tier 2 members, Manuel. Emmanuel Olivares, Mike Irish, Matt Doyle, Chris Matassa, and Matthew Hanna. Guys, thank you so much for watching. My name is Sam, and this is the Yank Report, brought to you by Bet Online.